You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 172. And today, I've invited a special guest to come talk about how to maximize your impact exactly where you are right now. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact, boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hi there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's your host, Melanie Benson, Profit Amplifier. Have you joined us in the Amplify Your Success community yet? Well, we've been creating some conversations about what's happening in the world right now. And I know that some people are A-okay. They're like, hey, I've worked at home for years. I've got this. And other people are completely upside down because their revenue has been coming from trainings and in-person services. And basically, they make their living on things that are shut down right now. So no matter where you are, what I want you to know is I am here for you. I want to support you. I want to help create connection with the resources and the new information you need. And I can tell you, I want to just share something really personal for a minute. I have been up and down the last couple weeks since all of this came down. And, you know, I really pride myself on being somebody who taps into resources. And I have a toolbox of things to help me when I'm feeling low or I'm feeling like there's a lot of noise around me that's making me anxious or overwhelmed. Because yes, I do have that. And one thing I know for sure is we need to embrace that there's going to be a lot of contrasting emotions and feelings. You're going to feel really excited and positive, and then you're potentially going to have some really rough days. And all of it's okay. And I think the more we can really lift each other and support each other right now, get creative, tap into what resources and magic and kindness that we can create as a community and as a world right now, I think it'll help you thrive. So if you haven't yet joined me in the Amplifier Success Community, come over to AmplifierSuccessCommunity.com. Here's what's happening over there right now. We've got daily connection tips and resources. Some of them are tuned into exactly what we're going through right now with being in quarantine and having to self-isolate. We've got connection time with each other. We're going to activate some virtual networking coming up real soon. And I'm doing a live series as my gift to you to talk about how to really be seen in the noise, in the crowded market by fine-tuning your message. And it's my gift to you. I want to help. Let's inspire each other, use this time to master some of the areas in our business and in our personal skill set that maybe we haven't gotten our head around yet. Look, let's stop the freak out and let's lean into how to really take our business to the next level. Because as soon as this quarantine is over, everything's going to shift back into gear. We're going to find our way back to a very healthy economy. And you need to have your business primed and ready to go. And my last thought before I introduce my guest today is I want you to remember that in down economies, in troubled times, there's just as many successes born as there are failed attempts. And you can choose which one you want to be. The recipe is, who are you surrounding yourself with? Are you willing to go all in and lean into taking the risk to invest in your growth while you can? Or are you going to let fear take over? I hope you'll choose the first one. Come over to AmplifyYourSuccessCommunity.com. Join us for the trainings that I'm doing and tell us what's on your mind. What do you need most right now? Now, let me introduce my guest today. As you're listening in today, I know you can't wait to hear how to maximize your impact right where you are. So let me introduce my guest today. Sue Salmini is the founder and president of Focal Point Consulting Group, and she's the author of Leadership by Choice, 7 Keys for Maximizing Your Impact and Your Influence in the Workplace, right where you are. Now, she's had over 25 years of corporate and military experience developing leaders, building teams, launching medical device products and businesses, and Sue founded her current company to honor her greatest values of leadership and to create a company positioned to empower others to embrace their vision and live their legacy. Sue's passion and commitment to leaders and organizations is reflected in her coaching, her speaking, her workshops and writing, and she's made it her life's work to inspire each of us to reflect on our values, our vision, and our attitude. So we're increasing fulfillment in the work we do. Does that sound exciting? Sue holds a Bachelor's of Science degree in mathematics from the University of Massachusetts. She's got a Master's of Education in Human Resources and Organizational Change from Boston University. She's an IPEC, which is basically a certification in professional coaching. She's got a certification in the International Coach Federation, which was one of my alma maters. And she's a certified coach. Wow. Not to mention the fact that she has many other certifications. She's got a whole toolbox of really great assessments she uses. But what really caught my attention is she loves running the occasional Tough Mudder or half marathon just for fun. Okay, Sue, I got to say, that is not my definition of fun, but I love that it's yours because it says a lot about who you are and your personality, because it takes a lot of drive and ambition to run a Tough Mudder.
So I have to just, I can't let the you or anyone know that when I say for fun, it's because it's really emphasizing more my random fitness goals. I work always better with a goal. And when a friend says, let's do a Tough Mudder in a few weeks, and my husband says, yeah, I think we should, that's the fun.
Got it.
So it keeps me, It inspires me to work towards some of those fitness goals that truthfully, otherwise I wouldn't want to do them. But we do like doing some fun, adventurous things that seem a little bit crazy.
Well,
to myself,
I love that.
And, you know, but it is fun. It has been fun. And it is true. That's that's a little bit of my MO.
Well, you know, I'm a firm believer in when we stretch ourselves outside of our norm and we do things that are different and we challenge our limits and do things that we don't even think we can do. Like, I think we become more resilient, more powerful, and more capable in our business. So it doesn't surprise me that you do an occasional Tough Mudder for fun. I've got to ask you as we get rolling here, because you're an executive coach now and you work with a lot of organizations and solopreneurs and service-based business owners, you run the gamut. But somewhere along the line, you made the shift. I believe you said you used to have a career in the U.S. Army, and now you're an executive coach. Walk us through how someone leaves the Army and moves into the realm that you're in now.
So I love that question. And it's funny, as I work with more people, that question is coming up more and more. And I think just to keep it, you know, brief, and I will walk you through the gist of many of my decisions have to do with when I come to an intersection or a choice, I take myself ahead 12 months, a year, 2 years, and I say, where do I really hope to see myself? And what are my goals? And what do I value? And how do these decisions potentially play into where I see myself or want to be directionally? And you know, this process started in a different form when I was younger, in that somewhere in my journey, and I think it was through a lot of my youth groups and church upbringing, I found that when I was faced with two choices, that if one of them seemed to be the more difficult choice, I decided that that would be the one that would teach me resilience, would teach me a stronger faith, and would allow me to grow the most. So early on in my life, I remember always my choice points would be choose the one that seemed least easy so that you can take yourself out of your comfort zone, grow the most, and hopefully experience some great experiences. And so when I was in the military, I came to a crossroads where I had the opportunity to either stay in for more years or possibly get out. And that was at the point, again, I was faced with the decision. And I said, okay, fast forward, what are my real values, goals, and aspirations? And at that time of my life, I was in my early 20s or mid-20s, and I had dreams and hopes of having a family at some point, if that was in my cards. And my, as I played out that scenario, as I was making this decision over several months, I felt that the choice that would at least set me up in that position better would be not to stay in the military. Not that people don't have families in the military, but my, I mean, to really play it out, I said, if I were to be in the role where I had children, I probably wouldn't stay in the military as an active duty person where I would be relocating every few years. So it played into the next tier of a decision. So then fast forward years, I chose to leave the military. It was a bittersweet choice because I loved, loved, loved what I did. It was an honor to be in the military. And I really loved the people and the leaders I worked around. But I was blessed with a great opportunity. And I started to work for Johnson & Johnson in medical device sales. And then fast forward through several medical device companies, I was at another intersection about 4 years ago. And it was, do I want to continue in this work that I've done for 20 plus years in medicine, working with medical products and in these great companies of all different sizes? Or do I want to do something different? And once again, a combination of those things I just mentioned came up. One being, what would the easy thing be to do? And also, where do you see yourself in 1 to 3 years, 5 years? And then another tier of that, which also relates back to a little bit of my faith, which is, what are your unique skill sets? And maybe how would God like to use you, or how could he use me? So again, the harder choice was to not do something that I'd been doing for a long time and to spread my wings and try something new. Where I saw myself in a few years looking forward and looking back was having a more autonomous role, my children being older, my husband possibly retiring, and wanting to travel more and be able to have a work that I could fulfill regardless of where I lived. And then from a faith perspective, and it certainly wasn't the last tier on this, it was actually the first, but very much so through my reflection of my core values and my faith, I felt incredibly called to follow some strengths and skill sets that I'd always been passionate about, and to honor those in working with leaders and helping people and individuals and entrepreneurs and people in the corporate workforce really find a place of fulfillment in the work they were doing and find their own talents and be able to really honor them and live them in their existing roles.
Mm. I would imagine being in the military, leadership is a very critical skill to cultivate. So, you know, I'm sure there's an amazing segue of the skills you mastered there and now what you teach and guide people towards in your book and in the work you do. So I can see all of that. And now it totally explains the Tough Mudder.
I don't know if anything really explains that. I had no right to be in the Tough Mudder, but we did it. And there were lots of good stories.
There always are. It's very Facebook worthy.
Yes.
So let's unpack a little bit about your book. You talk about 7 keys that are there. And, you know, of course, we don't have time to go into all of them. I want to encourage people to get a copy of the book. But maybe you can just give us the high note on those 7 keys of how they help you maximize impact and influence right where you are.
Well, I think the first key is recognizing that we really, each one of us is a leader. And I think that term gets thrown out really liberally. And I was with a classroom of 11th graders just yesterday, and we were speaking about what leaders were. And naturally, our brain goes to a person and a group of people. And the first message is that the biggest and most important person that we lead is ourselves. Mm-hmm. So whether you are in a corporation, running a small business, or running yourself as the solopreneur in the business, you are leading yourself every day to make decisions, to make choices, and to go after the goals that you set in front of you. So the first important thing that I really talk about in the book is helping everyone understand that the greatest leadership, first of all, opportunity is with themselves. And that as a result of how you lead yourself, it naturally transcends around everyone around you. And again, you know, one of the subtitle or a lot about the book is that you don't need a title to lead. And I just believe that with my heart, that it's not about the title. It's about how you move yourself through obstacles, help you move yourself to find opportunities to then execute what you're trying to execute. And so that's the first part, is really getting in touch with how you lead yourself. And as part of that journey, I encourage people, and I start with values. And there's been a lot more about understanding values of an organization. I see it a lot more in professional documents, a lot of programs on it. But I still feel that it can be glossed over all too quickly. Because to really get at the depth of your core values, and when I say core values, I mean truly what guides you, not just the checklist of what many would say the obvious, integrity, honesty, humor, and I don't want to make them seem trite, but it's really taking the true values that you hold near and dear to your heart, they're important to you, and getting super sharp on what they are and how they motivate you. What I find is when you can be aligned with that on a very deep level, and then connect that to align with a very crystal clear picture of where you want to be, why you started your company to begin with, what's the culture you're trying to build if you have a team? If you don't have a team, what's the following? Who are the people you want to be working with? What are the companies you want to be serving? When you can really align your values with a crystal clear vision of where you're trying to go, that you, in that process of doing that, you gain intense focus and clarity, and you gain just this crazy momentum and motivation to really go after all that you were initially triggered by when you came upon this quest to start this company or grow your company or create a movement.
Can we talk a little bit more about values? Because values are one of my great loves. Like when I went through coach training and I learned about values, all of a sudden all these light bulbs were going off, right? And I'm like, oh, wow, this is why I might get pulled over here. And, you know, someone who's similar to me but has very different values will do things differently. I think it explains so much around why people go to war, why people have disagreements, why people have misunderstandings and miscommunications. I think so much comes back to our values, yet I don't know that everybody really understands how to find their values and really use them as a compass, if you will.
Yeah, and I agree. And I went through the same process with myself, and it was so impactful for helping me find clarity. That's why I started my book with this concept. And the very exercises that I use in the book that are very reflective, I don't tell people what their values are or how to find their values. I take them through a very process to do it, which in turn can be transferred to a team of people and those around you. But the gist of it is, and the quick and down and dirty way to really start to uncover your values is to go to different extremes. So one of the exercises I have people do is find their triggers. And I find that triggers usually nail it pretty quickly. So what, think of a time that you were triggered, something, it's that moment when the hair rises on the back of your neck, when you internally, or in some cases externally, explode because something's happened that just triggers you. It makes you so mad, so frustrated. So behind that trigger is a lot of information. And so we might say, I can't stand when someone misses a meeting or they're late for a meeting or they show up late for an appointment. And with that, there's a reason why that bothers you. But that first reason, well, they don't respect my time. That's where people usually stop when they're trying to figure out what they value or what's important to them. But what's important is to say, what is it about them not valuing your time is important? And you go through, it's a constant question of what is it about that really bothers you? What is it about that that bothers you even more. And it sounds so simple, and it really is simple on one level, but we don't do this for ourselves, or we don't do this with others. But when you get a few tears deep, often what's uncovered is not what you initially came up with as your trigger or your value. It's something much deeper. And when you can get to that deeper understanding of what it is that is important to you, you're then able to really start to work and create an environment and a culture and your own stream of awareness and how you operate with people and how you communicate with them about what's important to you.
Would you share what a couple of your top values are and how they become your compass?
Absolutely. So one of my greatest values is care and concern for other people. Mm-hmm. And really embracing people for who they are without judgment. And I don't say that as if I do that freely and liberally all the time. I don't mean it that way, but it's so important to me to meet people where they are. And it's been, and I think what's funny is it was in my initial soul searching around, you know, this part of my journey, in one of my strengths is I realized that I truly just embrace people. And I think part of it's because I have a genuine belief that we are all created perfectly, uniquely, and differently. And it's, you know, a great honor to be able to see that in people. So how does that show up for me in a trigger? When I'm around people or in a culture that I feel doesn't have that same recognition for others, therefore mistreating people by being catty or talking about someone else or not being professional, it bothers me at my core. Hmm. Now, at face value, that might come across as I hate cattiness or I don't like people talking about other people. And I know this sounds really interesting, but I've seen this in the corporate workplace, and it used to trigger me tremendously when I would have a colleague or a peer or even a boss speak about another coworker when they weren't in the room, right? And this so my gut would be, I don't think it's appropriate that we talk about others. That's what the core value. You would think it's just, you know, being disrespectful or unprofessional. But when you drill down, and when I drilled down, the real value that was being threatened or that was in conflict was that I really care about different people. And when others around me didn't demonstrate that, it bothered me deeply. Hmm. So how does that translate into the workplace? So rather than me hanging my horse on, you know, we shouldn't be talking about others, it's unprofessional. Okay. And that's, you know, many people can accept that. They can accept it, but they might not entertain that. But I can say that I don't think it's appropriate that in a meeting we're talking about colleague X. If they're not here, I just don't think it's good use of our time. I don't find there's a different conversation. There's a one-on-one conversation with the person doing it that's like, you know, I care deeply for this person, as I do for you. And I shut down in my ability to show up professionally for you when this is going on around me. So I'm not trying to judge you doing it. I'm just saying that for me to be really productive and present, this is one of my core values that's I'm really conflicted by. And I want to work through it with you just so you understand the source of why I shut down.
Mm-hmm. That's very powerful. So it again, we oftentimes have to educate others about our values and our standards and why we are the way we are and how they can support those or choose not to, right? And what that's going to look like if they choose not to. And I think what you're saying is you're giving us a very powerful example of what leadership is when we take personal responsibility for leading. And I love that. That's such a great example.
I love that just candidly in your question, you know, I've really never discussed that to that level with anyone. So I appreciate your question. And what's interesting is as I've empowered and shared this in my programs and when I'm coaching, the element of leadership is twofold. When you share your values because you really do understand what's in conflict for you. You're also providing a space for other people to start to get clearer on what's important to them. And you create an environment where they also can start to communicate with you and those around you when they're feeling conflict, what's the greater source?
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. So you work with a lot of high achievers, right?
Yes.
So do I. And I know we have a lot of our community around Amplifier Success that consider themselves high achievers. I would love to hear your take, because I know as they're listening in, that what they need to hear about the things that could actually be holding them back from achieving their goals.
So, you know, that we always say what's holding us back is it's usually us. It's actually always us. And there's several barriers to success that I work with that seem to preside more than others. And it has to do with the story and the message that we're telling ourselves. And so the first thing is to get crystal clear and accept that we are all telling ourselves something all the time. And often that story is not true. And the story comes from several sources. It can come from, one, an interpretation that we have about a situation. And the interpretation is based on how we're defining what's happening around us. For example, when I first wrote my book, I sent out the manuscript to someone that I've always followed. I don't know them personally. I'd actually spoken to their office and they were ready and eager to get the manuscript. And I asked them if they would give me an endorsement. And I was super excited to send this out. I had a ton of confidence around launching the book. And I sent out this manuscript and I didn't hear back from them. And I have to tell you that the story that I created in my head around not hearing back from them was absolutely debilitating. And now I'm a very confident achieving, you know, I would say confident person that typically, you know, I push through these barriers. But in my head, I took this book that I was really excited about and I made it into the worst thing in the world. This person read it and they're like, oh, they would never put their name on it. I mean, I had a whole story. And this story paralyzed me for weeks. I didn't want to do anything with the book. And finally, I decided to pick up the phone and call the person. Just to say, okay, you know, if you're not going to write an endorsement, that's fine. Well, the gist of it is I had interpreted my situation of not hearing back from them that they got the book, they didn't like the book, and therefore they weren't going to write anything about the book. Therefore, the book was bad. Therefore, my product was bad. Therefore, I never should put this book out to begin with, and I should probably not even publish it. That was my story.
Wowza.
which interprets into inactivity. Of course, the real story, had I chosen to seek it out sooner, was that they didn't get it. So an interpretation, a misinterpretation, prevented me from moving forward and actually debilitated me mentally. Mm-hmm. Another thing that limits us is assumptions, that because something happened in the past, it will happen again. And that's allowing the past to dictate our future. And I think as entrepreneurs, we do that all the time. We have one experience with a client, a conversation didn't go exactly the way we wanted. They asked us to put a proposal together. We put the proposal together and then we didn't hear back from them or they didn't like it. So now the assumption is that any type of client like that, we might not work well with. So we hold ourselves back. We live in a little bit of fear, a little bit of anticipation, and we slow ourselves down. And yeah. So it's becoming, getting really clear on when we're feeling blocked and being able to better define what that block is and then having mechanisms to work around them. Mm-hmm. The greatest block is the inner critic or the gremlin that sits on our shoulder. Some people know that they have an inner voice in their head that's very loud. I can tell you that I never thought I had a little inner voice that was telling me bad things, because I was always a doer and I always moved forward. It took a lot for me to even think that nothing really ever told me I couldn't. So I didn't hear that voice audibly. But I think often what happens is, and a lot of the people I work with, they have a voice that, even though on the exterior they are highly successful, high achieving, super go-getters, anyone on the outside would say there is nothing that holds this person back, they still have a voice that sometimes brings a lot of self-doubt. And they have to learn to listen to it and overcome it so that they can propel themselves forward. And many high-achieving people have become very good at getting around that and do it well, but it still can hold them back. And so a lot of the work I do, I was literally just hung up the phone before this podcast with a person that I just described as such high achieving, high go-getter. And in his very own words, he said, "But every day it's a struggle to remind myself that in those moments of self-doubt, low self-esteem, you know, it's an inner conflict that I deal with all the time that many don't even know I deal with." So it's a constant work around recognizing it and then having strategies to overcome it.
Yeah. And I think what you just said is so important, Sue, because I think people think, oh, I'm going to heal my mindset and then I'm perfect from then on, right? And really what it is about learning the tools to move the gremlin from full active, you know, takedown mode to a little more constructive or a lot more constructive thought processes that don't derail you. And I I'm so glad you brought this up, because I see so many people all the time not recognize that if they just use the tools, they just work the process, they can move themselves out of these debilitated states.
Yes. And I think that what's really been interesting for me is, obviously I'm an executive coach. I self-coach all the time. But I have to tell you, I recently re-engaged my coach. I have several coaches personally for myself, but one specifically around my business and getting out of my own way. And we've been back working together again for the last 2 months. And it's funny because she will tell me she doesn't do anything to coach me. And I laugh, because the reality is since I've been re-engaged with her myself again, the accountability and the speed at which I'm moving has been exponential again. And this is why, and it's interesting, even as much as I self-coach and I try to teach all of my clients how to arm themselves with strategies so they can self-coach, so that they can recognize when they're blocked and give them tools. And the book does a lot of this as well. Tools to get a hold of their mind and reframe what they need to reframe so that they can move forward quickly. But it's really intriguing to me how, just knowing that I'm on the phone with her weekly, how I move that much faster.
Of course.
Because she reminds me to revisit, you know, things that, you know, don't, that story that's being calculated in my head that might be slowing me down from reaching out to a client, from following up with a client, to launching my audiobook, to launching my webinar, you know, different things that there's, it's the quiet voice that holds high achieving people back. Mm-hmm. And because it's so quiet, and because our brain is so strong and our effort and our successes are many in a positive way, that quiet voice is very quiet. So sometimes it takes some work to bring it out there so that you can get clarity around directionally where you want to go and recognize when you're being slowed down unnecessarily.
Yeah. And I think what you're saying about that self-awareness, you actually have a resource that you wanted to share with our listeners today that maybe could be super helpful with some of that self-awareness. I believe you call it your reflections journal. Maybe you explain where people can find that and how it will help them in this journey.
Yes. So when I wrote my book, I knew the book would be an interactive book with reflection exercises, and the book has reflection exercises right inside the book. However, the reflection exercises in the book, while they touched the surface, they were screaming for more work. Mm. So in writing the book, I decided to add a much deeper dive, and I put together a corresponding reflection journal. And the reflection journal is available in a publication form, because some people like print, but I also offer it as a complimentary copy. And it can be downloaded from my website, which is leadershipbychoice.com. And on that, you can download the Reflection Journal, which has a deeper dive for people to really go through the process. And the reflection exercises are the very exercises I use in a lot of my coaching. And it allows the individual to take themselves through this journey to start to gain clarity around what might be holding them back. And I cover values and vision and attitudinal energy. And there's a whole chapter on barriers that's it's a lengthy chapter that goes into 10 barriers that I think interrupt individuals and successful entrepreneurs and executives. And they dig into those barriers to help start to become aware of them and overcome them, along with reflections on personal development, praise and recognition, and the ability to listen, which all impact the overall individual leadership as leading yourself, but also in many cases, your ability to lead informally and formally those around you. So that Reflection Journal is a complimentary journal available on leadershipbychoice.com.
Perfect. And we will link that URL up in the show notes in case you're scrambling for a pen and you're like, whoops, I missed it. We will link it up for you so it's easy to find. You know, Sue, we've gone on such a great journey in this conversation today. I mean, it's really touched my inspiration because as a coach, as a trained coach, I you know, I'm simpatico, right? Like it's like I see so many similar traits here, and the work you're doing around leadership is near and dear to my heart. I'm always curious, though, with my guests, you know, going back to bold moves, because for me, as a coach, I had to make some pretty bold moves to get out of what I call, you know, the coach trap, where you really limit your income and your impact by, you know, kind of falling into a box. What do you think was the boldest move you had to make to increase the impact that you could make?
I think the boldest move, oh boy, there's so many. I mean, it all feels bold. And I say it all feels bold because every step is stepping out on faith without fear. But probably the first boldest move was making the decision to follow my faith and my heart and leave the corporate world and leave the space that I was in, where I had a very lucrative and comfortable income, to follow a much greater vision that I had, which was in trying to tap into a much broader picture of leadership and leaders. So that was truly the boldest move, was making that decision to be in this position and not look back.
And not to know how it all work out.
And not to know how it would all work out.
Yes. So if you're listening in and maybe you've been holding back from taking a big action, you've just heard it from Sue. You really cultivate that trust to move on faith, to trust those instincts, because you may learn some things on the way that are a little challenging and painful, but who you become and what you're able to achieve is so much greater in the end. And Sue, I love that you're an example of that out in the world. Thank you. I almost thought you would say something about writing your book, because I know for a lot of people, that's a bold move too.
Well, that was on the tip of, you know, it was there. I think, you know what's funny? I think the boldest move that's coming in front of me is what I'm about to do with the book. That's the next big bold move, because I have a webinar series I'm developing that might actually be out when this launches. But
okay,
I'm a little speechless, because I'm not a social media huge presence, so I put the book out and I use it in my work, and I'm very comfortable with that. But the bold move is I created the audiobook this summer. I actually did the audiobook. I recorded it, and probably the next bold move is really making a much stronger presence for the book, the audiobook, and the soon in production webinar series.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing how those bold moves pay off for you, Sue. And thank you so much for joining in today and, you know, sharing your brilliance with our community. And as you're listening in, you know, the action I want you to take from today's episode is to really get clear on your values, get a copy of Sue's book, do the clear work of getting connected to your values. They are your compass. They will steer you in powerful ways. But if you don't know what they are, then you can't use them. And Sue's brilliantly given us a great way to access them today. So thank you, Sue, for being here. Thank you for listening in. And we'll see you in the Amplify Your Success community for taking all of this a little bit deeper.
This is Melanie Benson, your host. Thanks so much for listening in today. If you want to catch up on any of the show notes and circle back on any of the resources we shared in today's show, head on over to the show page at amplifyyoursuccesspodcast.com. And remember, you amplify your results faster when you're in a community of other people who are moving and shaking. Join us at amplifyyoursuccesscommunity.com. One last thing. When you've gained insight from today's episode, help us share that and inspire other people by heading over to iTunes, subscribing, and give it a review. iTunes absolutely loves seeing these reviews pop up, and it actually helps boost my show's visibility. So I would be super grateful for your reviews. And as always, I love seeing your shares of these episodes on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Come find me over there. Tag me in your shares. I'll give you some social media love right back. So see you next week for another inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success Podcast.